The Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct will return to order. We came out of recess. We are continuing to recess after here in a few minutes. Unfortunately, both of the parties that we had scheduled to be here are not available today. We do know that Mr. Salah is going to be available after the 19th. This morning, at 6:36 this morning, we were provided information regarding Mr. Kimyon, and at this point, I'll turn it over to Mr. Bodern for a bit of a description of the activity that's taken place with the subpoenas and also our next steps. Mr. Bodern.
So, Mr. Chairman and members, pursuant to the subcommittee's instructions at the last hearing, I contacted both witnesses, or attempted to contact both of them, and obtain their testimony voluntarily with the idea that I would pursue subpoenas on behalf of the committee if that became necessary. With regard to Mr. Kimyon, I left messages for him on June.
Could Mr. Bodern please speak up?
Oh, into the microphone more.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'll try this. Is this better?
That's better.
All right. Thank you. Apologies. I followed up on the subcommittee's instructions after the last hearing to attempt to obtain testimony from witnesses voluntarily with the use of subpoenas if necessary. With regard to Mr. Kimyon, beginning on June 16th, I left messages for him, another one on June 17th. I heard back from him later that day. He indicated he would provide testimony and gave me the name of his attorney, Mr. William Dooling, with the Mazzi Law Firm. I left a message for Mr. Mazzi, Mr. Mazzi at that firm on June 22nd. I heard from Mr. Dooling, his associate, on June 22nd with an inquiry about the substance of what the subcommittee would seek from Mr. Kimyon in the way of testimony. We had a conversation. I memorialized that in an email on June 24th and provided him with general information about the areas of inquiry based on the previous deliberations of the subcommittee, and informed him again that the next hearing date for the subcommittee where Mr. Kimyon would be expected to testify was July 7th at 9 a.m. I heard nothing further from him until an email at 6:36 a.m. this morning where he informed me that because Mr. Kimyon had not been subpoenaed, he would not be appearing at the hearing. I have engaged in discussions. I've sent him an email and attempted to follow up with a phone call to Mr. Dooling to determine whether he would be willing to accept service, whether Mr. Kimyon would be willing to authorize Mr. Dooling to accept service of a subpoena on his behalf. He has not been able to confirm that for me yet. He said that Mr. Kimyon has not provided that authorization to him. I'm attempting to determine whether that means he is refusing to accept service on his behalf or whether further action is necessary. So that's where things sit with the testimony of Dawson Kimyon. With regard to Mr. Salah, I'll provide a more abbreviated explanation of what's happened to date, but the gist of this is, you know, moving ahead to the conclusion, Mr. Salah has obtained the services of counsel who are indeed authorized to accept service of a subpoena on his behalf, and I'm awaiting instructions from the committee for a date that will work for the subcommittee to secure the testimony of Mr. Salah. These are peripheral matters. There have been a series of messages exchanged. I finally did speak with him directly with Mr. Salah before he had obtained counsel, believed that he was agreeable to this date. Then when I attempted to follow up, I was unsuccessful in contacting him. A subpoena was prepared. The process server made multiple attempts in several different locations to serve the subpoena, did not succeed in doing that, and then I heard from counsel who indicated they would accept service. So that's a summary of what's happened to date of efforts to secure testimony of both witnesses. I'm prepared, once I receive instructions from the subcommittee, to process the subpoenas promptly.
So, members, it was my hope that we would get the testimony dealt with today, be able to finish this matter prior to August 1st or even closer to the middle of July. Obviously, that's not going to be possible at this point in time. We have discussed earlier some dates the date that we are going to have this hearing now is going to be on July 27th at noon. We will issue subpoenas for both parties for that time and date. If the individuals do not appear under the auspices of that subpoena, this committee can take further action to compel them to appear. I'm very disturbed at the, not so much Mr. Celaya, because obviously we're all busy. And we've tried to accommodate both parties. But this morning's event at 6:36 in the morning to get an email saying no subpoena, we're not appearing, is very disturbing. Very disturbing. This is a very serious process. It needs to be taken seriously by everyone. And I know this committee does. And I know the senators that are here are taking it very seriously, as well as the between the complainant and the respondent. They're all taking this very seriously. But we're not going to be able to meet and deal with the testimony today. Other members, do you have any other additional comments? Otherwise, we will recess to that time specific. Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a couple of questions for you. I am not available on the 27th. I have made some plans to spend time with family. But I wanted to do as much work as I can. My assumption is that you meet on the 27th, and this will continue, depending on what you hear on the 27th, and we'll move on. And we will have to adjust to the schedules at that point, because I assume some of the senators want to take some time off in August. If not, it will be September. And by then, your kids will be back to school, and you will not have time to take some time off with your families. So that may put us into September. I cannot do it. And I would like to ask if the intention of the chair and this committee is to go over a transcript and ask questions about something that has already been done in court, and then what? So if you could elaborate a little bit about, I believe that the transcript was 273 pages, if I recall, I think. Anyway, it was almost 300 pages. And it has a lot of information. My assumption is we're gonna go over that transcript. My assumption is that the testifiers will say that all over, so we have read it. So we're coming back to hear that again, and what is the capacity of this committee to do what? So Mr. Chair, what I would like to ask is, having had information about the first issue with respect to the video and what we know, having almost 300 pages that have done by a transcript that was produced in court with experts, what is the intention of this committee on going farther with questions over several weeks and accommodating the schedule of people who clearly have schedule problems to be with us? What are we doing here?
Well, Senator Torres-Ray, when we talked last about the transcript, we didn't know what was in the transcript. there are not a lot of questions I have in the transcript, although there were references to Mr. Kimian. I just wanted to ask him a couple of questions about the votes and that effort. I'm not sure that there's anything really in the transcript that we have questions on. Mr. Kimian, also, I have questions regarding this campaign headquarters, which has now come to light, as well as for Mr. Salah. His evasiveness leads me to question components of his affidavit, and I would like to ask him more questions about that. Senator Torres-Ray, I don't anticipate this taking much more than one meeting and then issuing. We need to discuss what the next steps are. whether there are any sanctions, whether there is dismissal. That is yet to be determined. But my hope was today we could hear from both of them and have this sewn up. This is not something I'm trying to drag out. I'm just trying to get two people in here, which we all agreed needed to come before the committee and clarify what's the information that was brought to light and in the complaints. So I'm sorry that we can't get that today, but my direction here is to try and get this done before August 1st, or after seeing we're going to be here on the 27th, perhaps get it done before August 15th. So it's not, the plan is not to have this drag on, but the plan is to thoroughly investigate, which is our responsibility. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we want to ask questions to get clarification on the actions of Mr. Salah and Mr. Kenyon. Our member is Senator Fateh. In this transcript, in the information that has been given to us, it is clear that everybody has said Senator Fateh was not involved in this. Senator Fateh was in front of us and he said, you know, I kind of pay these bills, appear in this video, there's a nuance about how they interview people. What more else do we need to hear from a member? He is here. The person that we are reviewing is Senator Fateh. We are reviewing his conduct. We are reviewing how his conduct impacts the Minnesota Senate and what we need to do about it and how that connects to the reputation, the actions of other members, whether that is whatever he did. He showed some videos that say, well, that's kind of done by others. I would like to ask, are we focusing on Senator Fateh's actions? And isn't the Ethics Committee supposed to be having this hearing, conversation, however we want to define it, as an interaction with a member and hearing from him, from her? I would like to do that. I think that's what we do. And then we make a determination about how the rules of the Senate, the protocol of the Senate, is not being followed. I just need to ask how many more testimonies and whether or not that transcript is just not sufficient for these members.
Well, Senator Torres Ray, again, we didn't know it was in the transcript. I think there isn't a lot in there that I have a lot, as I said already once, I don't think there's a lot in the transcript that I have questions on, but I think it is in fairness to both parties that we complete the investigation, and it isn't as if we can't do it in one more meeting. We could have done that today. We could have had a determination today. Unfortunately, that's not taking place today, and that's not something that I have control over. So I'm not willing to just dismiss everything out of hand without doing our diligence in making sure that Senator Fateh is either innocent or guilty or whatever the case might be to determine what the problem, if there is a problem, and if he should be cleared of the charges. At this point in my mind, he hasn't been cleared of the charges. I need to hear from the two individuals, which we all agreed by subpoena they were going to be here today. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For me in particular, for Ethics Subcommittee, which is oftentimes about telling the truth. And in this case, in the last committee, our subcommittee hearing that we had, Senator Fateh made certain statements on the record here in the committee, which conflicted with the sworn affidavit. So one of those are true. Not both. They directly conflict with each other. And only by talking to Mr. Salah in regards to his sworn affidavit and being able to have him here and had that conversation, I can't make an ethical determination because I don't have the information I need when under one sworn affidavit, one sworn testimony, they conflict with each other. That is an ethical situation that needs to be resolved. And it cannot be resolved by Senator Fateh simply stating whatever he stated, because what's at question here is that sworn affidavit. That is the person that is not here today, and we are, they are not. And so they may have good reasons, I'm not quite sure just for sure all that, but we are here, they are not. And so we've got to meet again to be able to give that subpoena that they are requiring, that they implied that there be a voluntary compliance with the request to be here. That not happening, we need to go through a more time-consuming route of a subpoena and what that requires. But it's an ethical determination at its root that Senator Fateh and the sworn affidavit are in direct conflict with each other. We've got to follow that through in order to make a determination ethically. Thank you.
Senator Torres-Ray.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kiffmeyer, could you elaborate on what that information is? Could you clarify for me what that is?
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Well, in particular, it was having to do with the sworn affidavit that says they were given a file that simply would just be then repeated on the Somali TV. But when Senator Fateh testified, and by the way, I am not in a position right now to put things on the record from my memory. Clearly, Senator Torres-Ray, you were here. You have the sworn affidavit. You have the record of Senator Fateh in regards to the items that were on that sworn affidavit. To make statements on the record from me right now, from my memory, I don't think is a real fair way to go about it, because I'm not the testifier, and I don't have some of the records in front of me right now.
Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, I completely sympathize with that. My memory is not very good either. I'm just trying to understand what are, you know, these issues. I think there is some nuances about, you know, this video, whether the video was provided or not provided. I do believe that I want to trust a member and that you want to trust a member to say, well, you know, we kind of didn't provide the video or did provide the video. How unethical, in your opinion, is a discrepancy as to, you know, whether you provided a video to a company and the company put that video? I'm not understanding the unethical piece of it, or you're saying there's a discrepancy on an issue of a video, right? And that's kind of the ethical part of it, that in your opinion, Senator Fateh kind of lie about providing a video. I just want the public to really understand the substance of this. It's really important to let the public know the substance of what we're doing here. While the country is in a war, we're facing significant challenges, economic and social. We're trying to figure out if Senator Fateh actually did a video or provided a video or didn't provide a video, what was the format of that video, and whether you lie about it or not, Senator. I think that's what we're trying to do with the Ethics Committee, and now we're in our fourth week. I just want to make sure that the public knows that, Senator.
Well, Senator Torres-Ray, no one is saying that Senator Fateh is lying. To characterize any member of this panel saying that Senator Fateh is lying is a mischaracterization. That's pure and simple. I am just trying to get clarification so I know what I need to do as a member of the committee. And if that means that we need to take another meeting, then we need to take another meeting. And this wouldn't be happening if the two individuals that we all agreed, including yourself, Senator Torres-Rae, agreed unanimously to issue subpoenas to appear before this committee. If they had appeared today, we may have enough information to make a determination. These are issues out of our control. To characterize this as foot dragging, or to characterize this as anything but seeking the truth, is out of line. And to look at the public and say that people think that Senator Pate is lying is also out of line. We're trying to get comfortable with the charges, get the information from two individuals that were involved in this, and put the matter to rest. Whether that means a recommendation to take action by the Senate against Senator Pate, or to completely dismiss the case against Senator Pate. But we have to do our job. I will not have members mischaracterizing the motives of members of this committee. So,
Mr. Chair,
we need to move to another meeting, and I appreciate the fact, and before the meeting we talked, you're unavailable for a very extended period of time, and I appreciate that you're not, that you let me know up front, but I agree we need to finish this. Senator Kiffmeyer, then I'll go to Senator Torres-Rae. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to clarify, since it was a reference to my comments, I did not use the word nuances or discrepancies or lie. What I stated was that Senator Fateh's statements were in direct conflict with the statement of the affidavit, and that needs to be resolved. That is what I said.
Senator Torres-Rae.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask Senator Fateh to come to the testifying chair.
Senator Torres-Rae, for what purpose? We were here today to listen to two individuals. Also, I had made it very clear that we were not taking any discussion from the complainants nor the respondent at this hearing. For what purpose do you want to discuss this with Senator Fateh? I mean, what are we going here?
Mr. Chair, it is my belief that as a member of the Ethics Committee, reviewing the actions and the behavior of a member of the Senate, I want to carefully hear his answer and make a determination based on his answer. That's it. That's what we do. You may want to call other testifiers, and if you believe that their testimony is in conflict with the senator's testimony, if you want to believe that these individuals have a reason to, provide a testimony that will conflict with his testimony, it's up to you. It's up to you to decide who do you believe. And you can call anybody you want. You can call anybody you want and hear them. I want to hear our members, because that's what my job is. My job here in this committee is to hear our members and figure out if they made a mistake, if they intentionally did something that was wrong, that impacted the Minnesota Senate, impacted all of us as a body. I want to take action on that. We're not in court. This is not a court system. We're not attorneys. We are not trying to put together another document of 300 pages. We want to correct the actions and make sure that this doesn't happen in the Minnesota Senate. I believe that's what we do. I'm not interrogating people. I am not calling attorneys. I'm trying to figure out, is this senator acting according to the rules of the Senate? And if this senator is not acting, what are we to do? What are we to do? This is not a court system, nor are we equipped or trained to act as such. And I believe that's what we're intending to do. We'll bring the witness. We're going to do cross-examination. Really? Well, maybe I'm just too new to this committee, Mr. Chair. But I believe that my call and my duty in this committee is to hear members and to figure out if their actions were intentional, accidental, and how they impacted the institution that we represent. That's what I believe my call and my duty in this is. And maybe if I am not doing this work correctly, maybe if I am misunderstanding, do I need to step out or simply ask for better training? But right now, I believe that we are going too far into acting as investigators of a case that has already been investigated by people who actually have skills and staff to do this work. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
So Senator Torres-Rae, just as a reminder, you agreed unanimously to have two individuals appear to take testimony. Is that correct, Senator Torres-Rae? You agreed in the last meeting to hear from those two witnesses to determine, to help make your determination in this case. Is that not true?
Mr. Chair, absolutely. The committee wanted to do that. It is my opinion that we have some latitude and that we have to accommodate that. I am not against that. I'm not against that at all. I'm just saying that if that's the direction that you want to take, and these individuals have said, oh, we're not going to come. Subpoena us. Okay, we're going to proceed to subpoena you. Well, when they come here, it would be very interesting to see how are they going to testify. Because they don't have to answer to your questions, Mr. Chair. Okay? They don't have to. And when they don't, I don't know what is your next step. So, yeah, you can continue to do this work, and you can continue to have these hearings. You can continue to call people to testify. I did agree to it because I believe that, you know, you ask for it in a way that, yeah, it's okay. I don't have anything against it. I am just saying that this process is dragging and dragging. We're going along with it. I am not accusing you, Mr. Chair, because you're not provoking this. It's clear that the individuals do not want to appear. We're going to be here on the 27th. We'll see what they said. They might not tell you anything. So what are we going to do? We come back in August, and we move into September. But our member is here, and he has already told you what he, in his heart and in his ethics, and what he did was his action. Whether it was right or wrong, that was his action. Now you can make a determination. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Torres-Rae, we've heard from Senator Fattah for and the complainants for up to 5 hours, I think the number was. The purpose of this hearing was not to take additional testimony from them, because if I allow Senator Fattah to answer questions from you, then we're going to have the complainants retaliate, and then we're going to go back and forth. And in my opinion, both sides have been provided ample opportunity to provide to state their case. I think Senator Fattah's position is very clear. I think the complainant's position is very clear. The whole point here is to get two individuals that had some connectivity with this, ask them some questions, and then make a decision. As you very clearly stated, this is out of my control. This was not something I planned. When we put into place the subpoenas or the power to subpoena, my intention was to have both of them here, spend up to a couple hours talking to them, meet in closed session, and make a determination. Or we may meet a second time after we had time to digest what was said here today, as well as give some time for both Senator Fattah and the complainants to respond and listen to the testimony that was provided and see if they had any additional comments, and then make a decision. That isn't happening today. My intention, and to say I'm planning on running this until November or October or September is completely wrong. I have better things to do with my time, so do you. I know that you're not going to be available until later in August. We certainly could kick this to when you can return. In our discussion, and I won't misinterpret it, your position was it's okay to go forward with the 27th at noon, even though you may not be able to participate. Is that a fair statement? Or would you like us to wait until August? Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will discuss that with my caucus and let you know.
Okay. Any further discussion? Senator Champion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I totally understand, you know, Senator Torres-Ray's, you know, frustration, right, and really wanting to move forward. And I clearly understand what's happening to the committee. If I could give any guidance at all, it would simply be that sometimes it's important to hear from both individuals, especially when their positions seem to be in conflict with each other. Not to say anything other than let us hear. And then once you're listening to someone, you can observe their body language. You also have an opportunity to hear what they're saying to see if it lines up, even makes any sense. And what I also think is, for me, it's important to make sure that I give Senator Fateh an opportunity to be put in the best light possible, right? You know, because I really do think it's important for us to give him that opportunity or space to put him in the most favorable position. And I don't want him to have to walk around after these proceedings to have shade over his head. It reminds me of, you know, Charlie Brown and Linus. I don't want him to have to walk around with this cloud and people saying things or feeling a certain way because we didn't provide an opportunity for him and or others around him to speak to the matter at hand. And so, really, I see this as an opportunity from my vantage point is to give Senator Fateh an opportunity to be put in the best favorable light. Whatever that looks like. I'm here not to, you know, try to find fault. I'm here to look at the information but say, hey, Senator, what can I do to put you in the best favorable light so that you can present your position and that we as an ethics committee can hear that and then let the chips fall where they may, right? Because we do take seriously, you know, our Senate colleagues, their conduct, because it also reflects on us, right? I'm also very sensitive to the public because I often hear the public say things like, oh, you politicians, you people do A, B, C, D, F, G. I don't want to just give them another opportunity or even have Senator Fateh put in a situation where prematurely that we didn't do something that we should do, at least to give them the best option or opportunity, and then that continue that narrative that is already so destructive in the marketplace or in the public. So I do see it as not wanting to go on and on and on, because God knows I have a 100,000 things to do, right? Including, yes, go to court, and yes, you know, speak to some other things. But I also want to be very serious about Senator Fateh and having him put in the best light possible as well. So thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, this subcommittee on ethical conduct will stand in recess until noon on July 27th, 2022.